Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. In the cafe today, I have Adam Miller, CEO of Vibrant Software, to discuss the ups and downs of growing a business and the impact of artificial intelligence will have on your business going forward. Adam, welcome.
Thank you.
That'll be a great conversation. There's lots of good topics from starting businesses to artificial intelligence. So we're going to give the audience lots of great insights and lots of stories that they can take home and implement right away to have a successful path for themselves. But before we get started, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your business, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So this is Adam Miller. I've been in self-employed for about 25 years now.
That's right. I like that.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. I can't believe it's been over 25. So I run a company called Vibrant Software, and most recently we've launched a new product company called Nomad Technologies. And the software company is a services-based company, and we've done a lot of really great software products and software implementations throughout Southern California and across actually really most of the United States. And our latest product, our latest company, Nomad Technologies, is based around a content management system that utilizes artificial intelligence to really help the users understand the content that they have and how to best use it.
Okay, and we're going to get into both of those businesses a little bit as we go forward. But I always ask this question of my guests. When you think about growing your business, or in your case, businesses, what keeps you up at night?
Probably managing the demand versus my production. So since we're a services company primarily, or even on the product side, we have a lot of requirements, the things people want. They want us to do things. And I have to have people to do that. And if I don't balance that, if I have too many people on staff, suddenly I'm leaking money. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have enough people, I'm not achieving the desires and the dreams. So somewhere in the middle is this balance that every day I look at the queue of incoming work, I look at the people to do the work, and I figure out how do I balance that? And that's probably 90% of my concerns every single day.
Yeah, because ultimately you're creating software as a service, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But really, it's the people business in a sense. I mean, you can't push a button and get this done. You need the people to implement it.
That's exactly right. And even if you're in a product company or a services company, if it's technology, somewhere behind the scenes, there are humans pushing buttons on a keyboard, making things happen. I have to balance that with all the things that they need to do.
I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm going to ask this question. Mm-hmm. Will artificial intelligence and machine learning, give a little sneak peek of what's about to come, change some of the way you work now?
So it could. In fact, it's going to probably affect nearly everybody in every industry eventually. The easiest way to look at it is if a computer could figure out how to do it for you, and especially if it could do it better than you, then it's ripe for being taken over. So for us, there's absolutely pieces of technology that we reuse on a daily basis that is always evolving. And one could say that's artificial intelligence in itself, because we're not managing those tasks anymore. Some other system is figuring out the answers for us. And it's making our job easier. And it's also able to streamline some of our processes.
Okay. Interesting. The other question I like to ask is, what is the best business advice you've ever received and or given, if it's different?
So if Kevin Welch was listening to this, Kevin, wherever you are, you need to listen to this, because he doesn't probably remember he gave me this piece of advice. And this was nearly 25 years ago. It was right around the very beginning of my consultancy work. And I was working in an office, and I was trying to solve a problem, and I could not get it figured out. And it was getting to become late at night. I was getting frustrated, and the owner of the company was still sitting there. And he was very patient, and he called me into his office, and he said, Adam, he said, let me give you a piece of advice. If it seems too hard, you're probably doing it wrong. It was kind of a silly thing. I thought, well, I know I'm doing it wrong. Well, duh, that's why I'm still here. And I paused, and he just kind of looked at me like, you better just stop and think about this for a second. And I did, and I thought, and I realized, oh, what he's telling me is I need to change my approach, change my assumptions, change something else, because the direction that I'm going right now, that's fundamentally what's wrong. Something else other than the problem is the problem. And now it's me. I was looking at it the wrong way. And still to this day, every one of my employees, I, when I sense that something is not right, when I sense that something is not going the right direction, or they're having too much trouble for something, I break out that little saying. They sure get tired of hearing it. But what it does is it forces you to think of things in a different perspective. Think of them in a different light. And as soon as you do, suddenly things make a whole lot more sense. And those problems become much more achievable.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That's great advice. A few years back, I was talking to somebody and we kind of walked away with, you know, that think outside the box. Mm-hmm. And we said, don't think outside of it, actually get out of it, walk around it a few times and really look at the box from the outside looking in. So I appreciate that advice because we get into this kind of rhythm and maybe way we had done things in the past and assume that's going to be the right way to do it again. And you have to step back. Life changes. Technology changes. The reason we're having this conversation today, and you always have to be prepared to look at it a different perspective.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your journey for a little bit. And I'll just read what I wrote down. In the 90s, a founder of Core, a leading professional services provider for many media and entertainment companies like Sony and Capitol Records, Universal Music, Virgin Entertainment. I actually did some work for Universal.
Nice. They're a fun company.
Yeah. You're also part of the Hulu launch in 2007, 2008, which I'm sure is a whole podcast on that one.
It would be.
And then Vibrant Software in 2001, Vibrant New Media in 2011, and now Nomad CMS in 2018.
Yep.
So you've got three different companies.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So some days I wake up and I ask myself that exact same question. Well, let's assume that I'm having a good day and I know the answer, which is that ultimately it's about marketing, it's about approach, and it's about skill sets. For me, Vibrant Software was a way to keep my consultancy running after the core, what I call it, the core days. The core days were during the dot-com boom. Every company went crazy. The podcasts just alone on that, I'm sure. Books have been written. Mm-hmm. The idea, though, is that we grew our company in a fantastic way and had an amazing time. But at the end, the company and the infrastructure just wasn't still there to support the sales, or the sales wasn't there to support the company. So we effectively disbanded the company, chalked it up as an amazing learning opportunity, and Vibrant was born. Vibrant took off for a number of years, and then I realized that pretty soon, I couldn't be everything to everyone. So we had a core business-structured company where we could go in and solve business problems. We could solve them for, call it the back office. And that worked great, except that much of our legacy was in the media and entertainment space.
Mm-hmm.
Our companies didn't want that. We either wanted business or they wanted technology for media. So Vibrant New Media was born. And really, it was behind the scenes, much of the same individuals, although different sales tactics, different sales approach, marketing. But in the end, it was a different approach to hit different audiences. Nomad Technology is what's been born about a year or two ago. That was specifically a product. And that was a very different exercise from the other services-based companies. That one has been set up completely different. Different members, different staff, different everything. It's a completely separate company, which we can talk about those details if you're interested. But the idea is that the first ones were generations, let's call it, learning experiences, one after another of services.
What led you to decide to do a product? Because as a service company, and I've been there before, I launched a product in about 5 or 6 years into one of my businesses, and it was a totally different mindset. And the way, to your point, the way we marketed, the way we thought about it, and I had to eventually put dedicated people on it, otherwise we were just splitting duties. Probably a lot of the same trials and tribulations you're talking about. But what led you to this particular solution? And you can dig into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the general idea is that we've attempted to do products multiple times. But as a services primary focused company, we thought that you take a product and you add it to your services. And then, ta-da, I have a product. And now I can somehow magically, it just sells itself. What we realized was that that was an approach where we were trying to take something we had and make it into a product. And frankly, it failed multiple times. And we learned that, let's call it the hard way, as we were services. A couple of years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I realized that content is king, as they say in the industry, but content is everywhere and it's growing tremendously. Trying to manage that content, and when I say content, I'm talking about pictures, videos, audio tracks, documents. Trying to manage that is just a surreal task. Billions and trillions of these documents are floating around today. In order to get our arms around that, humans can't do it all. Artificial intelligence, sign it up, because that's the biggest opportunity we have for AI right now, because there's very definable parameters around it. I can look at an image and I can say it has a person in it. I can look at a video and say it has this information. Artificial intelligence is built to take a look at something, especially machine learning, in fact. It's built to look at something and find patterns, find things that humans could potentially do, but probably can be trained to do it better. So for things like content, if I want to find my content, let's say I have a big stack of pictures sitting over there, I want to find all the pictures of, let's say, my mom. If I want to pull those out, I don't want to have to look through every single picture. And if those pictures are doubling every single day, I'm going to use artificial intelligence to help me find those so I can train it with machine learning. And using artificial intelligence, I can say, machine learning, this is what my mom looks like. And now go through all those pictures and tag each one of them and say, that's my mom. Now, if I'm trying to bring up a photo album, I didn't have to sit there and create little tags for every single individual picture. I let the computer take over and do that.
Okay. Oh, well, we're not talking, you know, family albums here. We're talking about massive amounts of information and data.
Exactly. I mean, imagine if you're a movie studio. Imagine if you're a studio that's had pictures and movies for 70 years. You're going to go back to your archives and your content. Wouldn't it be great to unlock some of that content and bring it to life today? You could even take something where you have just videos or pictures from the last decade, mm-hmm. and that's still very valuable. Chances are you don't even remember what's in some of that, let alone having the ability to hire people to go through and categorize it, tag it, and bring some of that content forward.
So I've done some work with CMS in the past. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I look at when what you're talking about with your product is and having all this content, put it into a practical use and not just mm-hmm. identifying people in a picture. For example, within the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. So let's say I've got 25, 30, 100 franchises mm-hmm. and I want to serve up, you know, a hamburger on hamburger day, but I want to do chicken sandwich and I want these prices, and but I only want to serve it to Southern California, but back east I want mm-hmm. the chicken and up north I want a burrito. Mm-hmm. I mean, all that can be programmed, if I understand correctly, mm-hmm. that the artificial intelligence go out and grab those pictures and basically populate the websites or whatever the marketing pieces.
You can. And so part of the idea is that artificial intelligence, the machine learning, the content management, it doesn't stand alone. It needs to be integrated with other information. So for example, if I'm running a campaign across the United States, I might realize that some of the hamburgers in the East Coast are more popular than, let's say, the chicken sandwiches on the West Coast. I'm going to take that artificial intelligence and I can potentially look at some of the trends that people are searching for on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I can look at images of what people are doing on the West Coast. I can analyze that and I can marry it together with some of the incoming, let's call it statistics data, and it can bring it all together to help me create campaigns that eventually will really just market the appropriate marketing to the East Coast, the West Coast, the South,
okay,
even different personnel, depending upon if the identifying information I can get about those people.
And are you filtering in like search keyword searches and things like that from mm-hmm. Google to know that I'm looking for, you know, a hamburger or double-decker with lettuce? I don't know how I got into food. I guess I haven't eaten lunch yet. Yeah.
But you can get some lunch.
Yeah. But, you know, so particulars. So now you're finding it. You're finding search patterns and you're serving mm-hmm. up that content, whether it's through retargeting or through a promotion for the specific organization.
And more importantly, so the Nomad system that we built isn't forcing you into a box. We know that these incoming information streams, let's call them, they're going to come from a variety of sources. We can't even begin to guess what they all are today. So we try to keep it open so that as a user, I can define a new stream myself. And I can marry the information together along with my content. So I can say I have a stream of information coming from over here, marry that with my content from over in this location over here, bring them together, and now I can discover that information much nicer.
Okay. Let me backtrack for a mm-hmm. second, because let's define mm-hmm. artificial intelligence versus machine learning for the audience to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Now, that's a tricky one. So if I was going to be asked that question, the first thing I would say is that if
I
you
just
ask,
did ask you five that question,
people,
by the
you
way.
Did, and I was wondering if you're going to do that. Ask five questions and you're going to get 10 answers. Okay. And in fact, ask me the same question in 10 minutes, I'll probably give you a different answer. But generally, the way I approach this is that artificial intelligence, in my opinion, is more of a theory. It's more of an approach. It's more of a process. Machine learning is a variation of that, or it's a use of that. So for example, if artificial intelligence says, I'm going to teach a computer to come up with its own conclusions about something that a human could have potentially described for it instead. Okay, so if artificial intelligence is creating intelligence in that computer, it's not real, of course. So the idea is, what's a way to do that? Well, I can train a computer through what's called machine learning and say, every time I see that picture, that's my mom. And every time I see that picture, that's Angelo. You just see these pictures. I'm going to give it 100 pictures, and I'm going to repetitively teach it that this is Angelo. And humans do this, by the way. Humans have to train it. That's the learning portion. That's the machine learning. So you're using artificial intelligence, the theory, and one variation of that is the machine learning.
Okay. Is that, it's not like a, I'm going to start this morning at 8 o'clock, and by the 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to have an effective process, right?
No, it takes time. And in fact, if, for example, if you're some of the big discussions going on out there right now around Facebook and Google using your pictures without your consent, there's a lot of information that's loose out there on the internet. Mm-hmm. And they're using that to train with machine learning. Google, Facebook, all the major vendors out there are using that information to train their own internal machine learning algorithms. They're using your pictures, your data. It's a whole discussion in itself. But the idea is that the more data you give it, the more it can learn, the smarter it can be about making its decision.
Okay. Let's take this now and put it into a kind of your vision or a practical application. How would small and medium-sized businesses, that's who my audience is, how could they implement an AI and machine learning program? How could they use it in their type of business?
So as a starting point, you first have to decide, or you have to better understand, what are some business challenges you have? So for example, if I have a business challenge that says, I have some information that I'm trying to gather because I want to make some business decisions, that AI, that machine learning, could potentially help you arrive at that data. For example, if I come in and say, I'm trying to create a campaign to reach all the Southern California people that sound like this, look like this, eat this kind of thing, I can find a data source, or I can find a company that has some of that information. They probably won't have it all. And then I can augment some of that with artificial intelligence. I can say, look for these patterns, look for this, marry it with this other data over here. And I can then use that to create a new source of data that I use in my campaign. So the idea is that as a company, you need to start with your business problem. People think, I'm going to start with artificial intelligence. You have to go the other way. Find the business problem, and then we see how can AI help you. Oftentimes, AI, all it's doing is the same thing humans could have done, except it's doing it much faster and oftentimes with more success. So think about those repeated things that if you had enough people and enough brain power and enough hands to do, you would do it, and that's how you'd arrive at the answer. That's a great opportunity for artificial intelligence right there.
Yeah, I think if it's very repetitive kinds of processes and information, then chances are artificial intelligence could come in and take care of that.
Absolutely. People are worried today, oh, AI is going to come and take over my job. Well, it will come over and take over a lot of jobs. But the reality is it's going to create new jobs.
Right.
In the world that we deal with, when we're looking at videos and pictures, it used to be that humans had to tag all that information.
Well, and I think that's important as people, and one of my clients deals in education, and we look at identifying the best career paths for people. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we always try to factor in, whether they're students or even young adults and trying to figure out their careers, is what's the impact of AI can have on their job so they don't spend all this time in school, get out with a career that's going to be obsolete in 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes the jobs end up being taken over, but what ends up being created is a new job that's tangential to it. For example, if I used to have 100 people in my office that would sit there and tag these pictures, I'd have a stack of millions of pictures, and they'd have to go through and say, there's a red ball on this picture and there's a train in this picture, and tag them so I could discover that content. Now, if AI can look at those pictures and figure it out, new jobs have now been created to quality assurance what the computer did. The computer's not going to be perfect. So these people just have a different job as opposed to the original tagging job.
Okay. Give me a story, whether it's for Vibrant or for Nomad. Mm-hmm. Give me a story about how one of your customers have utilized you in some of the outcomes.
Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we end up being utilized in a way that's more of a consultancy role for all of my companies are really centered around the idea that we're solving a problem. So most of our most successful situations, from my opinion, are ones where we sit down with the client or the customer, and half the time they don't even know what they want yet. They just know they have a pain point. And I have a customer here, a local customer, and they came to us probably about 2.5 years ago. He came to me and he said, Adam, I'm trying to do these things. I've got computer software I'm trying to implement, and I've got these processes that aren't working, and I've heard about artificial intelligence, and how can it help me? And to be honest, he got a little flustered, just kind of all these ideas were coming together. Where we come in, we're the most successful, is we can slow it down, make heads or tails what it is that he's trying to say. And oftentimes I'll realize that our clients are telling me something. They might be thinking they're giving me the answer, but what they're really doing is they're describing the problem. We'll hear about that, we'll help them solve it, and then at the end, we end up solving the problems they didn't even know that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Those end up becoming the ones that are the most important to me, because the joy of seeing them say, this is fantastic, this solved all these problems, which it's even more than what they expected.
Yeah, fantastic. Thinking about the show, and the show is about business growth and providing insights, mm-hmm. what are two or three suggestions that you can make as a business owner to other folks that are entrepreneurs and business owners out there to help them be more productive in their day?
Mm. I find that the most productive thing for me, well, so assuming that you have to work with other people or you get the opportunity to work with other people, then to me is you talk with your main people every single day. Some practices like Agile, it's a process that often technology individuals use. Agile says you have a thing called a scrum. A scrum is basically a checkpoint in the morning. You sit down and you say, all right, did you get the things done you needed to get done? Are you waiting on me for something? You wouldn't believe the number of times that people in large corporations will be assigned a task, go off to do it, and get stuck and sit and wait. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows that they're waiting. And it just goes around in circles for a while. So I find that the scrum approach, I've actually been told that some people use scrum in their morning households and their personal lives. Hey, check in with the family. Joey, what are you doing today? Sally, what are you doing today? And suddenly it turns into this kind of idea where everyone has the opportunity to help move the ball forward, whether it's in the business, a family, whatever it might be. Every morning, check in.
Well, I think, and that's great advice, and I want to expound upon that for small businesses, any business that are out there, keep in touch with your customers. Don't assume mm-hmm. because you finished the project or they're happy that you can ignore them until the next project comes along, right?
Yep.
Unfortunately, we've all learned the hard way, and so that's some parting advice that I want to give.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, we have come to a close.
Wow, already.
That was fast, and it was fantastic. So, Adam, why don't you tell the listeners how they can reach you, website, LinkedIn, all those wonderful mm-hmm. things.
Sounds good. So you can reach me. This is Adam Miller at either Vibrant Software from a services perspective or our new technology rollout, Nomad Technologies. I'll give you the new email address, which is just amiller@nomad-cms.com.
Okay. So, but with three companies, maybe LinkedIn is the easiest.
Sure. Well, it probably would be. Actually, you can just search up for it. Adam Miller, Newport Beach, California. Yeah. I actually don't even know what my LinkedIn URL is.
Yeah, but you're there. I saw you there.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been great. Thank you again for joining us in the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or sign up to receive future information from at theponzigroup.com or connect with me on my LinkedIn. And if you're in the business, is ready for growth, and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And if you're a small business looking for a business coach or some advice, please reach out to me as well. And lastly, please subscribe to the show. If you're already a subscriber, encourage others you think would benefit and enjoy the show's content at thebusinessgrowthcafe.com or any major podcast platform. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.